When shark fins are sighted, everyone wonders if it's safe to go back in the water. Most sharks could really care less about the humans on the shore, but we've been curious about these creatures forever. I'm speaking with Tom Demas, curator of fishes, and Tom Benson, communications manager, both from the Tennessee Aquarium. And we're talking about Shark Fest coming up on Friday, August 1st. Sharks are some of the most uncomfortable creatures on the planet for a lot of people. They're misinformed. They honestly think every shark in the ocean is out to get them.
I think the fear comes from the unknown. Unlike lions, they're below the surface where you can't see them. We see a whole lot more of lions and tigers and all those critters that are great apex predators in their environment. But the shark, certainly an apex predator in its environment, far more mysterious because you don't see them very easily. But they're wonderful animals that fill a great niche in their environment. There's only a few that are generally implicated in any kind of interaction with a human, and that's never really what they're after. I think there is a lot of misinformation and a lot of unnecessary fear.
The Tennessee Aquarium is celebrating sharks on August 1st with a Shark Fest. What exactly is a Shark Fest?
Shark Fest is one of my favorite events at the Tennessee Aquarium because we really take a look at some of those myths and mysteries about sharks and kind of peel back those layers to give folks the truth in a really fun and informative way. And we have a lot of activities planned for shark fans of all ages. And we also bring in some special guests that have some wonderful displays that really add to an evening of information and fun.
The Tennessee Aquarium has a new shark, kind of a shy creature. Tom Demas, how did you acquire these new sharks?
They've actually been available in the aquarium trade for a while. One of our colleagues at another facility had some. We were looking for more species to increase the number of animals we have in our collection and the diversity. Coral cat sharks are very reclusive. We're going to have a sign up pointing out where they are, and folks that come to Shark Fest, hopefully we'll get a glimpse of them. We have these guys in our touch tank, and when people want to touch a shark, most of the sharks that are appropriate for that are sharks that tend to be crepuscular or nocturnal rather than daytime diurnal. So these guys, during the day, they like to hide. It's unfortunate they're not the most obvious shark, but we do get them out periodically during the day, and they are interesting critters. So we're going to have them pointed out real well. We're actually going to have cowgirl Connie chapped up with her hip waders standing in the tank. With a little bit of luck, folks will get a good chance to see those guys. Kind of a surprise and delight for folks who do get to see them.
How many different types of sharks do you have at the Tennessee Aquarium?
In the touch tank in Stingray Bay, you have three different species. The bonnet head is very popular because that guy cruises close to the surface of the water, and it's so much fun to watch little kids, you know, because their faces light up. You know, I touched a shark. They resemble hammerhead sharks, and I think people have a real affinity for hammerheads, and so the bonnethead shark is a really cool one. The epaulette sharks are in that tank along with the coral cat sharks, and then we've got the sand tiger and sandbar sharks in the big secret reef tank.
That's right. Five species on display and a total of six species at the aquarium, soon I think to be seven.
So that means you've got one behind the scenes.
We do. We have another species of epaulette shark. We brought these guys in young. They're very difficult to get. We may be the only folks in North America that have them. And hopefully we'll be able to get them on display in the not-too-distant future. They're just not quite big enough yet.
I understand that. They are predators, but there are also other predators in that tank.
That's right. And, you know, and that's nature in general. When you mix species, be it bony fish or sharks and bony fish, you know, something always wants to eat something else. I mean, that's nature. It's real important that we put animals in of appropriate size and make sure the diets are appropriate. And obviously something that was specifically a piscivore or a fish eater, probably wouldn't put that in with other fish if you're trying to actually display fish.
There are a lot of activities happening at Shark Fest. Tom Benson, please tell us what you can expect.
One of our volunteer divers, Greg Ike, does a lot of shark tooth diving in the time that he has off. Greg's one of those guys who spends a lot of time underwater, and he has an amazing collection of fossilized megalodon shark teeth. This is a species of shark that's now extinct, or at least most people believe they're extinct. There's been some recent news lately that maybe a big great white got eaten by something that was even bigger. And so there's been some speculation on the fringes that could megalodon be living somewhere in our oceans down deep, one of those mysteries that may be unsolved. But when you see these teeth and you compare them to the shark's teeth in the secret reef, these teeth are huge. And so it really gives you an idea of how massive those jaws were and how huge those sharks, maybe 60 feet in length, you know, bigger than a school bus. And people's imaginations really get fired up when they see those teeth. People's imaginations also get very fired up when they see the display that Nature Films Network here in Chattanooga brings to the aquarium. Nature Films has done some great documentaries on great white sharks, but they're also have kind of an ongoing project about basking sharks. And basking sharks are one species of shark that very few people know much about. And if anybody's ever seen the paddlefish filter feeding in a Lake Nickajack exhibit, and they can imagine what a 40-foot-long animal filter feeding would be like, the basking shark is kind of like that. And so it's really amazing to see that video and see those photos of that huge shark.
We have some of these shark's teeth here in the studio, and that megalodon looks as big as my fist, one tooth of that creature. This is as big as my fist. And if you look at a jaw from a shark like we have here, there's layers of teeth. Is that consistent between sharks?
No, it's not. Different species have different numbers of teeth. People refer to the rows of teeth in terms of how many teeth back it goes. But if you talk about it properly in terms of the morphology of the jaw and the way shark researchers work with it and the scientists, each tooth from left to right is a row, and then each tooth behind that becomes a series of teeth. When people say, well, how many rows do they have, what they mean is how many series, how many teeth behind each one. In terms of how many teeth do they have in terms of a row, the teeth that go across the front, that varies by species. And then in terms of how many teeth go back behind each one to replace it, which is the series, that's real hard to say because those teeth grow. If you were to find a dead shark and open his mouth, you could count so many of those teeth in that series, but then there's some that aren't going to be visible, and then there's some that are going to be smaller. And so at what point do you say it's no longer a tooth? Certainly we've done some research in trying to answer that question specifically, how many teeth are behind each one. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of research specifically stating for each different species.
And looking at these teeth, which they do appear very sharp, it looks like the ones in the series beyond the row are almost laid down, so they would not be used yet. They're
correct.
Waiting until this row of teeth, if one falls out, does the next one just automatically move up, or does it wait for the whole series to move?
There are a few shark species, very few, where they lose the entire series at one time. But most of them, as one tooth goes away, the next one kind of comes up in its place, and they are incredibly sharp. Over the course of a life, they produce thousands of teeth.
And you know why sharks lose so many teeth?
No, why?
They don't floss.
And that's very funny. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you think about when you have to have a tooth pulled or something, our teeth are set in bone. Sharks are cartilaginous. The cartilage that makes up their jaw is ossified. It means there's more calcium in it, so it's harder, but it's still not as hard as bone. So you can imagine attacking something with your mouth and ripping and pulling. Teeth are going to come out. So without all those teeth in series ready to come forward, it wouldn't take very many meals. They'd be out of teeth because their jaw is not strong enough to really hold them.
I understand that if I wanted to go and end up looking a bit like a shark, I could get my hair done.
One of the great sponsors that we have is Pigtails and Crew Cuts, and they're going to have several of their stylists that are going to do some fantastic hairdos for shark fans. They've got a couple of different models, if you will. You can have a big dorsal fin put on there, and they will have some hair color, too, to do some colored shark fins. We also have free shark tattoos, and Cold Stone Creamery will once again have a great treat that you can sink your teeth into at the end of the event, their Shark Week Frenzy ice cream, which is topped with gummy sharks.
And you can do selfies with a gaping shark mouth?
That's right, the basking shark display. Or you could do it inside of the shark cage. And to kind of bring things back full circle, you know, that shark cage is really a piece of cinematic history. That was used in the first underwater documentary, Blue Water White Death. They were trying to show people and inform people about these great species of sharks. That was one of those films that was seen by Peter Benchley. He was inspired by that movie and wrote the novel Jaws. So where a lot of people's fear came from, the movie that followed the novel can be traced back to its roots in that shark cage that you can stand in at the Tennessee Aquarium.
Shark Fest is Friday, August 1st. What time?
From 6 to 8:30.
Is there an additional cost?
It is a separate fee, and you can go to our website. We encourage people to register in advance, but it is free to aquarium members.
If folks are interested in getting the shark fin hairdo and maybe get a shark tattoo, you know, those things take a little time to get done. So what we're setting up is the Sharktivities area where they can do those things. And while they're waiting, they'll have an opportunity to play shark hole, which is kind of our version of cornhole. It should be fun all the way around for everybody.
Sharkfest, a celebration of the ocean's top predator, is at the Tennessee Aquarium from 6 to 8:30 p.m. on Friday, August 1st. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.